Sesame Street, see? Oh, you know, you got to keep your head together. And I'm sitting there watching. By the way, I heard a terrible rumor the other day that somebody got mugged on Sesame Street. Well, you know, all the neighborhoods are going that way. Just awful. But I'm sitting there and watching Sesame Street and watching the Cookie Monster. Well, you know the Cookie Monster, right? You know? Comes out and he goes, "Cookie!" Well, I recognize his existence, and I can understand his feelings about cookies. And he looked out again, and he goes, "Cookie!" That's, by God, that's familiar. That's a familiar look in the eye. It was the look in his eye. And the sound in his voice of terrible yearning and want. Desire. And I waited a couple of minutes. A couple of guys came out and did tap dances, and they jiggled up and down holding a big letter D, and I learned to read, it's been 2 years ago, so I don't have any problems with that. I ignore all that stuff with the D's. Incidentally, did you know that one time I played the letter X? Believe me, I played the letter X on Sesame Street, one of the great historical moments. I'm not kidding you, absolutely true. One of the great historical moments in my performing career, you know. I played many things, but never a letter X. And it was great. I was called Cowboy X. But that's water under the dam or over the bridge or whatever the heck it is. And anyway, I'm sitting there watching the Cookie Monster. He comes back on. He goes, "Cookie!" Ooh. And I was, "Cookie, yeah." And he hit me. I remembered that look in the eye. It was a look in the eye that got me. I remembered that look in the eye. "Cookie!" I said, "I knew a person once who had that same look in the eye. The only difference, he was not a cookie monster. I knew what he was. Hit me. He was a bourbon monster. He'd say, 'Bourbon! Bourbon!'" So the recognition was instantaneous. And I knew it was going to be a great Christmas season. A great one. Yes, everywhere the bourbon monsters are coming from out of the woodwork. The Scotch monsters. They're ready for the Christmas.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to be jingle bells, open sleighs.
Oh, and for the snow. Hey, by the way, I know a set of lyrics to this you wouldn't believe. Fantastic. About 15 to 20 choruses. And I'll tell you, it'll curl the kids' hair. You sing this one around the old Christmas tree there, you know, dancing up and down on your tippy toes.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Hold it there. Thank you. That was very good. Very good. Reset that, please. We will be needing that. And I promised to do this show here a couple nights ago, and it's time now that we did it. After all, the Yuletide is approaching, and you see a lot of things that are significant during the Yuletide, and I think the time has come for me to report to you that as a student of our times and as a chronicler of the trivia of our world, and I don't think trivia has much to do with who played the second gangster from the right in a Humphrey Bogart movie. That's impedimentia. That ain't trivia. That's a different, that's very different. True trivia is a very different thing. It's a horse or a fish or a ding-dong of another color. And tonight, as a student of our times, I am here tonight to report to you, and I'm probably the only guy this year who will report this, that there is a very interesting trend going on in our country, which I cannot quite pinpoint. Maybe it's a resurgence of romanticism. That's hard to believe. We've come through a period of intense, almost manic cynicism in our country, you know, back in the 60s and stuff. And how many of you remember, watch Christmas cards. I mean, really watch Christmas cards to see what's on the Christmas cards from year to year. Well, I remember just a couple of years ago. Do you remember when they had this great vast wave of sort of borderline pornographic Christmas cards? Do you remember that? I can tell you for a fact that just a couple of years ago, the pornographic Christmas card was really big. It was on the verge. You know, it was not really outright porny. Let's put it this way. The vaguely blue Christmas card, kind of cynical. Ho, 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 I know what I want to give you for Christmas, baby. Ho, ho, ho. You know, that kind of stuff. That was in all the Christmas cards, yeah. And then a couple of years before that, Christmas cards became totally opaque. This was before that. A Christmas card often consisted of what looked like a small section of a Jackson Pollock painting. Completely, no meaning, purely an aesthetic concept. It had nothing to do with the religion, nothing else. You know, just there it was. You remember those? That was a big deal about 1967. Now, all through this period, see. Well, now I am here to report that I have absolute proof right here in my hands. An unparalleled resurgence of Santa Claus. Santa Claus is having an absolutely... Now, don't laugh. I'm telling you the truth. Santa Claus is having a tremendous comeback. And if you're curious where I have this information, I have a lot of information. For one thing, I talked to a guy who is the manager and is the manager of one of the biggest stores in Philadelphia. He says they have never, ever in his memory, and this guy's been there for many years, had as many kids waiting in line to talk to Santa Claus as this year. He says it's incredible. All right. This year wasn't, did you notice on television there was a remake of The Miracle on 34th Street? That's very interesting. Why suddenly this year are they... That's a movie, if you don't know what the movie's about, and sitting out there saying, oh, what do you mean? Are you talking about the subway on 34th Street? No. The Miracle on 34th Street was about a guy who was working at Macy's and how he came to work at Macy's. Interesting story, too. But he was the real Santa Claus. He really was Santa Claus. And, of course, he had a hell of a lot of trouble. Psychiatrists were examining him and everything else, you see, because he was truly Santa Claus. And they remade it. It was an excellent production, by the way. I thought Roddy McDowall was great in it. I don't really like his work, but he was good in that one. And but nevertheless, this all little straws in the wind. Now, what I'm here to tell you tonight, though, is that there's been an unparalleled resurgence of unabashed romanticism in the Christmas cards. And I've got a stack of them here, right here in front of me, and I will describe to you what's on them. Now, a lot of people may get one or two Christmas cards. The funny thing about Christmas cards, they tend to meld in your mind like this just one big, giant Christmas card year after year. But they really aren't the same year after year. And in fact, many a Christmas card manufacturer has practically been driven to the brink of suicide because they bet wrong. You know, like in August, they put up a whole bunch of pointy Christmas cards, and that's out. There you are. You're stuck with 12.5 million Christmas cards with this leering face that say, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, baby. I know what I want to give to you. And nobody buys them. What are you going to do? So this is a very subtle business. You know, they have to print these things, like, well before the fact. So Christmas cards are printed sometime early in the year, like, say, in the spring of that year. And by by late October, the mood of the country is already becoming developed. And some guys are already planning, you know, to buy a Utah or something because they're going to hit the jackpot this year. And other guys are heading for Greenland to get away from their creditors. So the idea of what's on a Christmas card is very important. So would you please give me a little sociological introduction to a sociological program tonight? We are tonight saluting the resurgence of Santa Claus, who is making an unparalleled comeback. I mean, if Santa Claus comes back, what is next? Well, I say this is going to be the biggest year in years for the Easter Bunny. All right, now. I have a pile of Christmas cards here before me, and I will describe to you what is on each one by using, just pure oral mental picture descriptions. All right, now, let's take the first one. The first one here is a Christmas card from a doctor, no less. Now, this, you know, these are people that are... They're right there on top of it, generally. This is a doctor. And on the cover of the Christmas card is good old Santa Claus, and it's a very realistic representation of Santa Claus. This is not a stylized Picasso Santa Claus. It's really 1890 Santa Claus, right? And he's got a red suit, and he's got big white beard, and he's got tremendous mustache, and he's a kind of a cute Santa Claus. And he's wearing what appears to be, he's wearing, there's one incongruous part of his costume. He's got these black boots on. And the black boots have got gold buckles, but curiously enough, they've got these corrugated red rubber soles that you wear when you're out in the mud. You've seen those things? Anyway, he's walking along there in the snow, and he's playing a drum. And he's walking past us at right angles. He's going right past us. He's playing a drum, and the drum has the American eagle and the American shield on it. Now, how do you like that? And what does it say inside? Have a very merry Christmas. Now, that's a classical Christmas card. Haven't got one like that. And I'm delighted to report a decline of the Peanuts syndrome. Last year, for those of you who can remember that far back, that's been a year ago, and of course, that's before your time, most of you out there. And 1 year ago, I would say roughly 3 Christmas cards out of 5 alluded to Snoopy. I'm delighted to report that plague has passed. We're safely through that crisis. And before we go, speaking of, this is WOR New York. I'm doing what art critics do. I'm giving you an art criticism of the Christmas card of 1973. Now, one of the great curses of a couple of years ago was the commercial Christmas card. A Christmas card would arrive, and it had a little holly leaves all over the outside on the envelope, and you think, gee, it's a great thing. Here's a Christmas card from one of my friends. And you open it up, and inside is this great big piece of cardboard printed at enormous expense. And what is it going across the front of it but an enormous gold, green, and yellow moving van? And underneath it, it says, from the Acme International Widget Moving Company. When you've got to move, think of us. And, oh, by the way, incidentally, Merry Christmas. That was the commercial card. And I'm also delighted to report the decline of what we called in the trade, that we, the Christmas card critics, called the rampant ego Christmas card. Now, what was the rampant ego Christmas card? This was a Christmas card that had tastefully printed all over it pictures of the guy who sent it to you, his wife, and his 3 ugly children, all squatting next to the Airedale. We've noticed this has declined, and I'm delighted to report that. It's the rampant ego Christmas card, where the 3 wise men, the Savior, and various other religious figures had been supplanted by that great religious grouping of our time, the American family. Daddy sitting next to his large-toothed wife, grinning into the camera, And there are these three lumpy, ugly kids squatting all around them and the Airedale right in the middle of them. Okay? I'm delighted to report that none of those have appeared yet this year. Now, I'm not saying that these things will not appear in your little old stocking. What I am saying is that we're here at the Avant-Garde. This is what's really being done today. Now, you've got a lot of friends who are going to stick with that. But, there's still people painting in the 1923 style. It doesn't mean that it's with it. Now, do you want to hear what the next one is? Another Santa Claus. Obviously enough, this Santa Claus is moving across the page in the same direction that the other one was, and is wearing what looks like an identically colored suit. It's a Christmas card of Santa Claus, but this one is one of those vaguely cutie pie ones. It shows two street corner Santa Clauses going to work. And you can tell that they're not the real Santa Clauses, they're street Santa Clauses, because they've got their little stands folded under their arms and their little buckets, you know, that says give this year. You've seen those. And they're walking to work. One guy's ringing a bell and the other guy's smoking what looks like a White Owl Imperial. He's smoking a cigar, and it's a kind of a, you know, cutie pie thing by Norman Rockwell. But it is Santa Claus. It's definitely Santa Claus. You would not have gotten away with sending that 2 years ago. You would have been laughed right out of the Elks had you sent that one. There it is. That's Santa Claus, right? And above it, all it says simply is warm-hearted wishes. And inside it says, may all the joy you give away return to you on Christmas Day. Now, that's an old-fashioned sentiment. Do you agree? That kind of thing. You remember the old, it seemed like just a couple of years ago, during the days of the realist. During the golden days of the Village Voice, you know, when Nat Hentoff was at his zenith, and people would send each other Jules Pfeiffer Christmas cards, you know, a Bernard getting turned down by this chick, that's all over and done with, according to our. Now, here is another very, very sentimental Christmas. It's somewhat enigmatic, but nevertheless, it's a painting. It looks like it's a combination gouache and watercolor. It's a nice painting. It's a very realistic painting, but quite nice, of a snow-covered landscape, and a railroad track is going away from us. We're looking down a railroad track, and it is a snow-covered representation of an old-fashioned railroad station. Now, that's kind of a mysterious thing to have on a Christmas card, but it is a pretty painting and unabashedly sentimental. You agree? And inside, all it says is season's greetings. Now, you know, not like the old Christmas card that I remember with such great fondness. The one that says, up yours, you know, something like that. Yeah, I used to get those. It's a couple of years ago, you know. But that's all over and done with. So now, here's another Christmas card. Now, this one is a very tasteful card, and it's a representation of the three wise men arriving, and you can see it's done in gold. It's nice. It's done in gold leaf, and it looks like, it's done in gold leaf and embossed. It's an embossed card on a white background or an off-white background, and the star is high above. You know, the star is way up there in the sky, and it's a tiny, beautifully embossed gold star. But it's definitely religious. You see the three wise men here in the foreground. It's a fairly representational, but at the same time, there's a little touch of a creativity to it. And in the background, you see what looks like a train of camels arriving, and a few black embossed palm trees are arching up over the creche there, and you see Joseph, and you see Mary, and this is a legitimate, and inside it says, to wish you a joyous Christmas and happiness in the new year. Yes, indeed. Well, that certainly does a smack of Snoopy, does it? Ice skating with a sprig of mistletoe sticking out of his little collar there? No. It's a very different kind. Now, look at this. Now, this is the kind of Christmas card that my mother would have fell at home with. It's an interior scene of what looks like an old rugged inn of some kind. Dickensian. It looks like Dickens. Charles Dickens. And there's nobody in the scene, just this This rugged inn with the beams high above, and it's a nighttime scene, and the scene is lit, the interior is lit by a big crackling fire. And in the fire, which one of these great big old 1850 fireplaces, there are pots hanging, and it's one of these walk-in types, great big fireplace. And you see hanging in the fireplace what looks like enormous brass kettles or something is on the fire there. And the floor is, you can see a vague representation of floor. It's one of these old planked floors, a great floor. And in the foreground is a genuine green Christmas tree. Not the revolving Japanese type with a transistorized base with, you know, with stereo on the bottom that gives you the Rolling Stones version of Round the Tree We Go. And here you see a couple of little Christmas presents. And underneath it, it simply says, Merry Christmas. That's all. That's a very sentimental kind. Now, I'm not making any value judgments here. Now, here's another one here. This card here, if somebody put this out down in the village someplace, you know, places where they sell copies of old magazines and posters of Betty Boop films and stuff like that, people buy this stuff. If he put this out and just simply said above it, 1917, people would buy that because it looks like that. It's a green card, again a green one, but this one is a little slightly different green. It's a nice paper, it's this crisp artificial parchment paper, but it's an absolutely faithful reproduction of a Christmas tree. All it is a Christmas tree. Trees, by the way, are coming back like Billy Be Damned this year. They really are. That's another thing. I have a friend downtown who has a place where he sells Christmas trees. He says, fantastic. Is Christmas trees are coming back like gangbusters. But nevertheless, this is a Christmas tree, and the Christmas tree is interesting in one very important respect. It is lit by red candles on this tree. The entire tree is lit by candles with little flares of light around the flame. You see that? Now, obviously, that's a Christmas tree of long past. I don't know... I don't even know anybody who ever remembers having a Christmas tree with candles on it. Did you ever? I've never seen that. I've always seen pictures of it. But this is something that is a candle Christmas tree. So you can tell what period they're talking about. Inside, this says, at this merry Christmas season, and all other seasons too, life should be just wonderful for someone as nice as you. Now that's, who would have... You know, that's right out of the Hallmark Hall of great, magnificent poetry fame. You don't see much of that. I mean, I'm amazed that that's coming back. Now, here's another one. This is a Christmas card, and again, of a type you would not have seen a couple of years ago. This is a card that's printed and cut in the form of a Christmas package. It's a package that's wrapped in red and gold paper with white and red ribbon around it, and on the top of it are ornaments, and they're real cutie pie ornaments, and it says Christmas greetings, and you open the top, it's a little package, so you open the top of it, it's folded, and inside all it says is, may all the joys of the Christmas season be yours today and always. That's all. Now that's an unabashed, again, sentimental Christmas card. Now here's a card, it's a little bit off the beaten track, but again, it's very sentimental. It shows this is a card that's done in blue, a light aqua blue. It's done in blue and tones of gray and white. It's woodcut, really, is what it is. It looks like an engraving, actually. And you see, it's a snow-covered tree, and it's a close-up of the tree trunk, which runs down the left side of the card. And we're looking at a branch, and sitting on the branch, central figure looking right at us, is this squirrel. It's a squirrel looking out at us. He's got an acorn in his paws. And in the background, we see the Star of Bethlehem way high up there. So that could be any time. That squirrel, you know, they had squirrels during the days of Christ, believe it or not. They're not a new development, you know, when they built Central Park. They go earlier than that. So this could very well have been a squirrel of that period, because here you see way off in the distance, the Star of Bethlehem, and you see snow on the branch. And inside, in very elegant type, very clean type, it's what they call steel English type. That's a certain type of type. It says, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's all it says. Elegant. Now, here's another card. Now, this is a beautiful card. Now, this is really a lovely card. I must compliment whoever sent this card. It's a folding card, and it's done on very beautiful pressed paper. It's really a lovely card. Isn't this a beautiful one, this one? It's done on beautiful card, but it is, again, it's a card that has what they call an embossed finished paper. You get a rough finish to it. See, the paper is kind of rough. It feels like it's a light leather of some kind. It's big card, and it's off-white. It's a kind of a vague ivory colored, but the representation on the card is a beautiful yellow, very subtle yellow and orange watercolor. Yellow and orange. Interesting combination of colors. A yellow and orange, sort of a sienna combination watercolor, very light watercolor of a Christmas tree. That's it. And you see this vague orange sienna star at the top. It's a very pretty tree. And it says, Christmas is a message of goodness, moments of gladness, memories of gold. That's kind of nice. And inside, you open it up, it says, wishing you a very Merry Christmas. Beautiful card. And again, that's a card. Notice the continuing theme that runs through them, Christmas trees and Santa Claus. And I suspect that a lot of this stuff is a curious, almost a sad, reaching back for something that never was, or at least reaching back for something that ceased to be a long time ago. And so you find a lot of young kids who are supposed to be very hip, you know, walking around wearing 1880 dresses and granny, and the whole scene. It's a curious attempt to be something that nobody ever could be again, but this is a part of it. So here's a Christmas card. Now, this is one of the most sentimental. It's a red and green, very, very representational Christmas card of what looks like a bough of a balsam tree, and that's a balsam. By the way, there are several types of Christmas trees. If you're going to buy a Christmas tree, the ones with the longer, long arching needles will stay together a lot longer than the shorter ones. There are various types of Christmas trees. We'll give you a little story about that later. You know, there's a difference, the different types of fir trees, or evergreens, really. This happens to be a balsam, and there's a balsam by there. A bow, and in the foreground is a big green candle that's lit and a lot of Christmas tree ornaments, and above it says, and it's very bright colors, red and green, it says, season's greetings. By the way, that's another interesting thing that I've noticed. The resurgence of red and green, the traditional Christmas card colors, are part of this resurgence. Now, here's an interesting card. this is an interesting card, and for reasons in that it's the only one that's arrived of this type. It's a black and white card. It's a small card, not more than maybe 3x4. It's a small folding card. White paper, slick white paper. But the picture on the card is a small, very highly detailed, beautifully done, a tiny photograph of two trees. This is a real photograph of two trees on a snowy hill, outlined against the sky. The trees, of course, have no leaves, and it's a very nice photograph, but it's an interesting type of card. It's a variation, and yet it's sentimental. If you look at it, it's a curiously sentimental card. It isn't a picture of a glass building on Park Avenue. It's a picture of a tree on a snowy hill, and inside it just simply says, greetings. That's all. Enigmatic. Again, Santa Claus. Here's another one. And this is from, if you're wondering where these are coming from, most of these are coming from New York City, which is interesting. These are New York City people sending these cards. These aren't cards from little places like Rabbit Hash, New Jersey. These are people that are, you know, fairly supposedly walking around hip types. Here's a really sentimental Santa Claus, and it's Santa Claus. It's a cartoon kind of Santa Claus, but a very respectful one. and he's wearing his red costume, and he's decorating a tree. And he's putting on the top of this, it's a little tree, it's only about waist high, and there's nothing else on the tree. It's a little growing fir tree. It's growing. It's not a Christmas tree. It doesn't have a thing on it. It's growing out of the ground, and he's placing a star on top of it. And sitting on one of the branches of the tree is what looks like a robin, curiously enough, a robin. And this robin is watching him do this. That's all there is to it. And he's very nervously putting this star on the top. And on the back of the card is no comment at all, just the name of the person who sent it. There's no statement of philosophy or anything. I've got a lot of other ones here. Here's another very interesting card. And this card is one of the cards that looks like it's from the UN. It's a group of stylized kids from all over the world done in a silhouette, dancing around a great white symbolic snowman. And yet you see also in the background palm trees. It's all mixed up. Can be anywhere and every place. And you see high up in the heavens there almost a Juan Miró version of the Star of Bethlehem way up there. And it's encircled by what looks like a tiny swirling drift of clouds. And this is done in shades of steel blue and white and gray and black. And that has season's greetings in four languages, including the Russian, and including Spanish, French, and English. and the words of season's greetings. Here's a kind of card that you know, the kind of card that has the little gilt sprinkled on it, you know, like ornaments have. And here's a very, very sentimental card of a watercolor of a guy walking along a stream that's frozen. He's tugging a sleigh on which there are Christmas presents, and next to him are trees, and in the distance you see a little village with a spire. That's a very, very sad. That's right out of the 1890s, and it says Merry Christmas on the top of it. And these are all new cards. Fascinating. So we are drifting into another era, which I think is an unabashed era. And incidentally, I think this is to carry it into what I think is a more real area. I think this is one of the reasons why a lot of politicians are in trouble today, because we are returning to an age, curiously enough, of 19th century morality. I mean, drive the evil ones from the temple. and it's happening everywhere, and I suspect a lot of politicians can't figure out what happened. You know, did all this stuff in the 60s, and now all of a sudden it's coming to roost in the 70s, in the days of the resurgence of Santa Claus and little elves and green Christmas trees.